Hi, this is Paul Evans from Nichology.com, and in this brief audio, this is not going to take up your whole afternoon or anything, we're going to be talking about Hugh Jackman, how to maximize you. Last month, I was in New York with my girl. We just flew up for a day and a night there to see Hugh Jackman live on Broadway, or it's back on Broadway, I think it was called, and we were really amazed by the show, by his versatility, by his talent, and even by his story. It's one of the few times in my life that I've seen someone operating in what seemed to be the full capacity of just being themselves. It was extremely hard work. The guy had definitely practiced. Being ourselves does not mean that we're not going to have to put forth effort. We're going to have to. But it was so amazing to watch him be in his element. And I see all the time people fighting themselves, constantly trying to be something different than who they really are, not recognizing their strengths, not recognizing what they're bringing to the table. And of course, I'm not saying that anybody has to be like Hugh Jackman. The real key is that we're simply aware that we're valuable and that we're bringing something into play, and we need to do that instead of always holding back. So Hugh was really a great combination, singing, dancing, acting, being funny. There was a group of young kids up on the front row. They're probably around age 13. He started out with this real dainty song, and he went, oh, kids, you're not having a good time, are you? You came to see the Wolverine. And, you know, they were laughing at that, and he would do a Wolverine pose, you know, several times during the night for those kids, because the rest of it was definitely something that a teenage guy would not be going, oh, this is cool. He was doing a lot of songs like Singing in the Rain and a lot of old school things that, of course, me and my girl thought were great, but they didn't think was too hot. But he even told a little bit of his life story. And he mentioned starting out not having good genetics, even though when you see him now physically, you know, he is transformed at times into someone very muscular and other times someone very thin. And he even showed a picture of him as a boy standing on a track, skinny as a rail. He said, can you believe that that was the future Wolverine? And he said, now, can you really believe this? And it zoomed in, and you could see hanging out of his shorts was a piece of toilet paper. Obviously, he had gone to the bathroom, didn't get rid of all the toilet paper, and it was hanging out of his shorts. Of course, the place just erupted, but he was totally comfortable being able to show that and get a laugh. He didn't worry, is this going to hurt his credibility? Well, you know, you might say, well, Paul, he's famous. You know, he can do anything he wants. Listen, we can't hold back and always be worried that we're going to do something a little bit off kilter, or we're going to embarrass ourselves, we're going to lose credibility. We've got to live. We can't hold back on life so that we're always concerned about what somebody else is going to think. We've got to move forward and be strong and be confident in that process. So he would sing, you know, started out singing. That was pretty awesome. He did scenes from Wolverine, so that was kind of fun. And he then started talking about how he got to host the Oscars. And I thought this was a pretty neat story. He said that he was in London. It was about 1 a.m. The phone rang. He answered it. The guy on the other end said, hey, Hugh, this is Steven Spielberg. And he was like, you know, I figured it was one of my mates making a joke. And I was like, yeah. And he said, no, it really is. It's Steven Spielberg. I'm calling from America. And he went, really? He goes, yeah, well, what can I do for you? He said, well, I'm sitting around with the committee that puts on the Oscars, and we wanted to see if you'd be willing to host the Oscars. And he said, sure, I'll give it a go. And he said that plenty of times through the night, I'll give it a go. What an incredible attitude. I mean, most people would obviously be thinking, you know, I need to really think about this. Let's see if I should even host the Oscars. And certainly, like last year, we had some hosts that maybe shouldn't have hosted the Oscars. But he said, I'll have a go. He said that is that Australian spirit of what's the worst that can happen, really? I embarrass myself? Big deal. That you can recover from that. And I'll give it a go is just his motto in life. Even with this show that we went to, it actually started out in San Francisco, and he was waiting for a film to start shooting. And so when San Francisco said, hey, would you like to do a one-man show? And you can do singing, dancing, do all the stuff you love to do. And he said, I'll give it a go. I think we need to have more of that attitude. more of the attitude that I'm going to get out there and I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to quit holding back. I'm going to quit being timid. I'm going to quit worrying about the possibility of what could happen. I'm going to do something and find out what will happen. That's a totally different life perspective. It's a totally different way to live. Now, does that involve more risk? Yes. Does it involve more failure? Yes. But I would rather risk and fail than not risk and always wonder what could have been, wonder how it would turn out. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to do things wrong. It's just part of our story. In the second half of his show, he popped up in the balcony and he's dressed in a tight gold outfit and he's portraying Peter Allen. And he is 100% flamboyant. He is 100% into the role. And he comes from being up on the balcony level, coming back down on stage, and he's singing Coca Cabana, and he's got rainbow umbrella, and everything's just going crazy. And he gets to the end, and he looks at those teenagers in the front row, and he goes, "Confused now, lads?" He even played that off, was even to bring humor into that. And as macho as he is, he could also play that character. It was interesting because in the program guide, it said that SNL has dubbed him the most masculine and most feminine male in the world. And because he's able to be that versatile, but he's really just being him. Certain portions of the show, he brought people up out of the audience. Put them on stage, didn't know how it was going to go, didn't know how it was going to play out, because you can't prepare for that. People are so unpredictable. And it ended up just going great. He had a guy on stage that owned an underwear company. He had no way of knowing that, right? And so that ended up being pretty hilarious. And he has this guy up there dancing, and the guy is not in the best of shape. Meanwhile, Hugh leaves the stage, goes and sits with the guy's wife, and lets the guy just have the show. You know, it's just so much fun, and you only do that if you're very comfortable with who you are. At the very end of the show, he said, "We're raising some money for an organization called Broadway Cares." He said, "What I'm going to do is take this tank top that I've got on right now, and I'm going to auction it. Now, it's going to be wet. It's sweaty. We'll put it in a sealed bag for you. I'll sign it. And then you'll come backstage and you'll get a photo with me. You know what? I'm going to start the bidding at $1,000. Well, it ended up at $10,000. And he said, "Well, I tell you what was that last bidder?" And the last bidder was $8,000. He said, "What if I get my tank top from the first half of the show, because I didn't wear the same tank top both halves, and this isn't my first fundraising rodeo. What if I get both tank tops out and I give it to you for $8,000 a piece?" So we turned the $10,000 into $16,000. Then he took off his belt and he auctioned it for $5,000. And then he said, "Anyone who would like to have a picture with me, come backstage, and it's $2,500. I don't know what the intake of the night was, but it was phenomenal. And he was so relaxed in making that sale and raising that money. We've got to be relaxed and confident when selling our products. We've got to believe in them. We've got to know that it's good. We've got to know that it's valuable to the marketplace. Now, he wouldn't have paid $8,000 for his own shirt, would he? No way. But it didn't matter whether he thought it was valuable or not. All that mattered was whether or not the marketplace thought it was valuable, right? And they did. And you've got to know that your stuff is valuable to the marketplace. You've got to know that it's going to be a positive impact on the marketplace. So I want to give you four areas to concentrate on, and this is going to be super brief. I'm not going to take a lot more time. I just wanted this to be a quick hit and something you could really concentrate on and put into action and hopefully pump you up a little bit. Number one, be valuable. Be valuable. Allow your life, your products, to create value in the lives of other people. You've often heard me say, the better you become, the better your business becomes. It's true. And also, the better you become, the better your world becomes. Again, you've heard me say, I don't believe that we're necessarily called to change the world, but I know that we can all change our world. You can change your world, and you do that by being valuable. You do it by being an asset to your community, to your family, and business you are a commodity, a value system to your clients, to your customers, so that that product that you're selling, you know, is going to make a positive difference. That course that you're putting on the market, you know, is going to make a valuable difference. That coaching program that you're opening is going to make a valuable difference. So be valuable. Live a valuable life. And I know this is beyond the scope of what many people sign up for in Nichology. You know, I'm not just teaching about how to make money. I think that that's important, but I think it's more important that we are valuable as human beings and our value transfers through all of our products. Second of all, we need to be risky. We don't need to be timid and scared all the time. There's times to take a calculated risk and to be a little cautious, but I see the vast majority of people really holding back, not living the way that they should, and not taking even things that aren't even risky. You know, not even doing things that really shouldn't even require decision-making. We should just go out there and do it. You know, such as, well, I'm concerned about putting up this video because of X, Y, and Z. And chances of X, Y, and Z happening are 1 in 1,000,000. Just go for it. Put it out there. Write the book. Make the videos. Create the course. Sell it. Be proud of what you're putting out there. Well, Paul, I'm not sure that it's the best thing on the market. It doesn't have to be the best thing on the market. You go to the diet section of your bookstore or Amazon, and there are thousands of books. Are they all the best book on the market? No, they're not. But they all have value in them, value that a publisher said, I'm going to put it on the market. Do your best work at this moment and continue to grow. Your best work a year from now should be different than your best work in this moment. It's part of our growth process, but you've got to take the risk of putting your current level out on the market. It's fine to do that. You need to do it. So be a little risky. Pick up the phone. Call some people. Try to work out some joint ventures. Don't just email somebody and you don't get a response and go, well, this stuff doesn't work. Nobody wants to work with me. I don't blame them. I don't even like myself either. You know, we got to get rid of that mindset. It's going to hold you back, and it's almost impossible to sell from a position of insecurity. Be risky. So be valuable. Be risky. Number three, be fun. You know, if you had just sung very serious, slow songs all night, it would not have been a fun night. Me and my girl would not have enjoyed it. I wouldn't still be talking about it. It's got to be enjoyable for people. People need to have a good time. That doesn't mean that we've all got to be humorous. It doesn't mean it's got to be knock your socks off funny or knee slapper. It just means that they had a good time while they were with you. Whether they're reading your article, whether they're buying a product from you, reading your newsletter, that it was good. They were glad that they did it. The things that you're publishing, you know, should be interesting to people. Now, everything doesn't have to be that way. There are times to be serious, times where you're just making announcements, and times when you're just goofing off. No problem with that whatsoever. And then number four, be awesome. So be valuable, be risky, be fun, and be awesome. I'm going to read for you an article that I've written. I'm going to publish it here pretty soon. I'll put it on my blog. I'll put it on Facebook and stuff like that. So be looking for it. What will they lie about? That's the title of the article. It's really about being awesome. You've either heard about or you've done this exercise. Write your eulogy today. Write down everything you want said about you at your funeral. Now go out and live that way. That's a good exercise, right? It sounds good. It's good advice. Well, here's another good exercise. If you died today, what would the preacher lie about at your funeral? How would your imperfections be reframed into strengths? Sort of like this. Bob wanted everyone to do their best. In other words, he was hard on people and nobody liked him. Or how about this one? You could always count on Sally to know who was hurting and needed extra attention. In other words, she was a gossip and couldn't wait to light up the phones with the latest tidbit. Now don't wag your head. You know you've been to funerals and turned to a friend and said, who are they talking about? Are we in the right place? All right, here are your two steps with that. Step one, what lies would be told about you? What would be massaged, tweaked, and repositioned to make you look good? Write everything down. Write down every lie that would be told about you in order to make you look better than you really are. So step two, change those things right now. Because who really wants a bunch of liars at their funeral? Nobody. And I know you don't either. Be awesome. Instead of, you know, simply living that eulogy, find out what's wrong right now and let's change that. Let's be awesome. Let's be awesome for our marketplace. Let's be awesome for our families, for our friends, for our coworkers. Let's just be great people. You know, one of the things that I saw in Hugh Jackman, and my girl did too, is that he really lived life with a lot of just positive energy. You know, I don't know him personally, obviously, but, you know, he seemed to be an awesome person, somebody you could just hang out with and have just a really good time with, and at least from what we saw from the stage. And so when we look at that, we need to make sure that we're just trying to be awesome, that we are bringing the best of ourselves, and we're putting it on display, and we're doing the best that we can. So be valuable, be risky, be fun, and be awesome. And as always, as you know, success is not an accident. Be blessed.